I kind of feel like I have the same story as a lot of people in my position. It all goes back to, like, being a child and being in the kitchen with your mom and your grandma. And that's definitely where my love for cooking stems from. My grandmother would cook every day regardless. Like, we would never order out, maybe once in a while, pizza. But every day was a home-cooked meal, and I was always there while she was doing it. My family actually makes fun of me because I would eat dinner with my grandparents at, like, 3:30. And then I would go downstairs and eat another dinner with my family at, like, 5, 6 o'clock. So they always make fun of me for that. But I always loved being in the kitchen with them, making anything. Like, I mean, that really sparked my desire to cook.
Welcome to a very special bonus episode of Las Vegas Weekly's Second Helping Podcast, and thanks for joining me. I'm Brock, and I'm super excited to continue our mission of digging deeper into the stories behind the food all across the Vegas Valley. Today, I'm going to introduce you to Jamie Pepe. Jamie is the executive room chef at Twin Creek Steakhouse, located at the Silverton Casino Hotel on Blue Diamond Road, south of the Las Vegas Strip. She first came to Vegas from her native New Jersey about 13 years ago and studied at UNLV and the International Culinary School in Henderson. And then she bounced across the country a bit before settling into a sous chef job in New York. She decided to return to Las Vegas and landed a gig on the opening kitchen squad at Giada. And as you'll hear, that job helped her start to shape her own career.
I only worked in one spot in New York, and I worked there for 4 years. It was the Standard Hotel in the Meatpacking District. So I can't really say I've been all around in the East Coast, but it was a pretty hectic environment. It was awesome. I wouldn't trade it for the world, but it was a little bit more in your face, and then out here is a little bit more reserved. As like a manager, you have to kind of watch what you say. Mm-hmm. So to speak. Especially, I never worked in the union restaurant before. And then, you know, coming out here, the union is really, really big. So it's like, there's a lot of protection in that way for your workers, which is great. But as a manager, it's really difficult. Coming from the East Coast, you have to, like, tame yourself down a little bit. You know, so I that was a big learning experience for me, and I learned really quick. You know what I mean? Like, I graduated culinary school in 2009, and by 2012, I was a sous chef. So it's like, it went pretty quick for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I moved out here, I went into a manager position as a sous chef, and then right before we opened, I was an executive sous chef. They moved me up right before we even opened. So it was like, I appreciate the fire that was lit under my butt, so to speak. You know what I mean? Out there. Out here, you have to work in a different manner to get to your cooks. I love the relationship that I have with my cooks now. It's, you know, it's different. Like, in New York, my sous chef and my executive chef, they were kind of like behind the scenes. You never really, like, you worked with the sous chef. The chef de cuisine and the executive chef were kind of like behind the scenes. You don't really talk to them. You know, if they talk to you, you're like, oh my God, why are they talking to me? You know? But out here, it's like you're more on a personal level with everybody, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas is a small town. You know, once you're in it, you know everybody. I'm not saying I know everybody directly, but it's like that 6 degrees of separation. It's like more like 2 degrees of separation. Like, you know everyone. And if you kind of burn a bridge, best of luck. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be hard. It's going
to
be tough.
Keeps you on your toes. You got to be nice to everybody, yes. Which is actually good.
It is good. It is good.
You were on the team that opened Giada at the Cromwell.
Yes.
One of the biggest personalities in food, Giada De Laurentiis opened her first restaurant on the Strip in 2014, right?
14, yeah.
What was that experience like, just in terms of kind of stepping up to this world of that big Vegas restaurant that we were talking about?
It was probably the scariest moment of my life and the most appreciated moments of my life, for sure. I never opened up a restaurant, so that kind of opened my eyes to the process. It kind of made me scared to open up another restaurant because I don't know if I would want to be in that predicament again, but at least I know what to expect. It was a roller coaster of a ride, for sure, working for such a high personality, someone so famous as Giada. It had its peaks and has its, low points. But all in all, she is a strong headed, like headstrong woman, and she knows what she wants. And I can't, say anything bad about that. It was a great experience working there, and I wouldn't have traded it for anything.
Mm-hmm. It must have been intense. Just, anytime there's a big restaurant opening on the Strip, it's a big deal, and it's in the spotlight, and there's a lot of scrutiny about what's going on.
Oh yeah.
That was just amplified times a million, mm-hmm, with such a famous personality, and it being her first restaurant ever, not even right. First restaurant in Las Vegas. Must have been some crazy days.
It was crazy. It was probably like, 8 days a week, 26 hours a day, I remember one day I was driving home, and I lived out here past the M. Well, the exit was the M, and then I'm driving, and all of a sudden I realize I'm hitting Gene, and I passed the M, and M's in my rearview mirror, and I was like, oh my God, I just zoned out so bad that I passed my exit. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever from like a 19-hour day. But the blood, sweat, and tears are definitely in there for sure. It was a struggle. I mean, I don't think it was a struggle a lot, but there was some moments where they tried to, beat her down for being, a woman, and that kind of, sucked a little bit. Say if it was a man, saying, demanding what he wanted, he wouldn't be called a bitch. He would be called, motivated or knows what he wants, And I think that in the beginning that was a little bit of a struggle there. But, I mean, we weren't hurting at all. When we first opened, we were 700-800 covers a night easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it was intense. It was a pretty cool ride for sure.
Yeah, and in that regard, kind of a groundbreaking restaurant, because there still are very few restaurants on the Strip, mm-hmm, big high-profile restaurants that are owned by women, or it's a woman whose face is attached to it. We've got Border Grill,
mm-hmm,
and Chica at the Venetian is another one that comes to mind, but that still hasn't happened all that much. And what it's like, there's a lot of women in the industry, there's a lot of women cooking in kitchens all over the place, mm-hmm, but few have gotten to the level that you're at in terms of being in charge of that room, being in charge of that restaurant. So I'm sure that having that opportunity and just being involved with that was special for you in that way.
Right, absolutely. And, the journey, I have to, put all my thanks to that. New York helped me big time. And then for sure, Giada's was probably one of the biggest moments of my life, working for her and working for Caesar's Palace and, for Caesar's Entertainment. Like, that was a big deal. It was a big boost for me, And I wouldn't be in the position I am if it wasn't for those steps,
And then you went from there to the Silverton, to the Twin Creeks Steakhouse. And really did get that opportunity to kind of...
Mm-hmm.
Run that space.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. The Silverton, Chef Ashley, They give me a lot of, I guess you would say, freedom. Whereas in a lot of places that I worked before, especially in Giada's, it's more of, you know, someone else's vision. You know what I mean? And you always have to cater to their brand and to their visions. And now I get to work on my own brand and, you know, try and figure out who I am as a chef. And they're giving me that platform to do it. And I really think that's awesome.
And that is one of the great off-strip casino resorts that we have in the Las Vegas Valley. So popular with definitely locals, but a lot of tourists visit the Silverton on a regular basis also. What's it like to go from, we're on the strip and pretty much everybody in here is from some other city or some other place around the world, to now you're seeing regulars that come in every weekend?
I think that's what I like most about being in the industry, is building that relationship with your guests. That stems back from, like, my East Coast mentality with family and, you know, neighborhood and all that kind of stuff. I feel that being able to see the faces every day and knowing people by name and knowing what they eat, you know, without even seeing a ticket, like, I'll have their food ready or that whatever. I think that's more of what it's all about than being a tourist attraction. We get to evolve with our guests as well, which I think is one of the greatest things. Like, because believe me, when I'm developing a menu or a special, those are the people that I have in mind. It's not what I want, it's what they want. And I think that's what it's pretty much all about. I mean, it's the closest thing to being a neighborhood restaurant without being in a corporate, I mean, with being in a corporate situation. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like a lot of these freestanding restaurants are opening up around town, and, you know, they're all about the neighborhood and bringing people in the community, and especially in the industry, bringing everybody together. That's the closest thing I think you could find out here is probably, you know, the Silverton and Twin Creeks, because we are all about the locals for sure.
I'm a big fan of the Silverton and of Twin Creeks, and I know a lot of locals eat there for special occasions and celebrate with a great steak and a huge baked potato. It's sort of a classic Vegas experience, just located off the strip, but it had been a while since I'd visited, so I asked Jamie if I could tag along one day as she opened the restaurant and started her daily prep. It just happened to be 2 days before Valentine's Day, which of course is one of the busiest nights of the year at restaurants like Twin Creeks.
How many prime ribs to make. I'm at about 40 reservations right now, so I'm probably gonna make two. That'll serve almost close to 50 people.
Do you have any idea, like, how many prime ribs you go through in maybe a year?
A year? Well, I know a week is about 120 to 160 pounds.
A week?
A week.
Wow.
I don't know if that's a lot. Pretty much what I do before my prep cook comes in, I get this stuff all started, I open up everything, I unlock all the doors, get the sandy buckets ready, do all the temperature logs in the refrigerators, and then I get, like, the mashed potatoes going, prime ribs in the oven. It takes a few hours for both. This way he can come in and just jump right on one, putting the order away, because that's one of his priority jobs, and then starting on the list for the day. List isn't looking too bad. Usually I'll bang out half of it before he even gets here, like all the little stuff, poached lobster, charred avocado. I leave kind of like the bigger stuff for him because he'll have more time to focus on that. Sometimes I'll be pulled in all different directions, meetings and so forth. But
so this list changes day to day based on what's around, specials, needs to be redone.
I'll make a point at the end of the night, like towards closing, when I know, like, all of our reservations are pretty much in, I'll go around to all the cooks and I'll ask them what they need. And then when we're done doing our prep, probably around 3 o'clock, I go through and see, like, what could be the next task for the next day. Like bechamel is a big thing. We usually do a big batch, freeze some, and we have it for the week. Like soups, lobster bisque, onion soup, those are pretty big things that we try and do once or twice a week just to keep it on the fresher side. But also, we are kind of small with employees, I guess. Like, I only have one prep cook, sometimes two, and myself. So it's nice to keep a little bit of a backup in the freezer, just so we're not always doing it every day, because they are big tasks to do, but we do like to keep it as fresh as possible.
I got to meet some of Jamie's staff in the kitchen, and it was pretty clear that it's a tight-knit team, and everyone gets along and gets the job done. I asked what they had planned for Valentine's Day, but I also wanted to find out what the chef cooks for her team when she gets the chance.
There's usually a birthday, like, once a month. I got two this week. So I usually make, like, a funnel cake for them.
Funnel cake?
Yeah,
that's the birthday treat of...
That's been the tradition for a few months now. It's like, oh, you got to do it every month for the birthdays in the room. So I got two birthdays this month so far. We usually just bundle it for once a month.
Is there a funnel cake of sorts on the menu?
No.
Should there be?
No, one person asked for it, and it's just been a tradition now, so... And Wednesdays is perfect because the oil's clean, so it's good.
Wednesday is funnel cake birthday day.
Anything to make the cooks happy.
That's awesome. And then how different is it going to be on Friday for Valentine's Day?
It's going to be
crazy. This process.
It's going to be crazy. I'll probably cook four prime ribs, probably about four bags of mashed potatoes, as opposed to the two that I'm doing now, and then... I don't know if you saw on the back, but my order just came in, and it's the whole hallway is filled with purchase orders. So it's gonna be a good weekend. It's gonna be a good weekend.
What's the special that you're doing?
It's a 3-course meal for two, starting off with lobster raviolis. Second course is gonna be a 40-ounce porterhouse sliced. And then the third course is a platter of assorted truffles. And hopefully I can get some strawberries in because the crops have been giving them trouble recently. Hopefully I can get some strawberries in.
It's not Valentine's Day without strawberries.
Right? So I'm hoping.
If you can't get any, you can always do funnel cakes.
I can always do a funnel cake. Absolutely. Strawberry sauce.
Jamie is probably not the chef you think of when you imagine a fancy Vegas steakhouse, but she's obviously okay with that. And Twin Creeks is not the average steakhouse either. She has a few tricks up her sleeve when it comes to taking care of all those regular customers.
We do a plant-based menu, which, you know, obviously, it says it in the name. It's plant-based, and it caters towards vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free as best we can. The worst thing is that if you have a family that's going out to eat and you're a vegetarian, vegan, and you don't want to go because they're going to a steakhouse, you know, that... I don't think that didn't really fly with us at the Silverton, so we're trying to make sure that everybody can come, you know, and be welcome in the steakhouse.
What are some other dishes that you love, or like we said, kind of separate Twin Creeks? What other dishes really represent what you guys do there?
It's a steakhouse, so we're kind of like, we're not limited, but we don't want to confuse anybody of what our mission statement is in the steakhouse. But I do take complete love and pride into making the short ribs that are on that menu. We change the setup of it every now and then, like seasonally. Right now it's on truffle mashed potatoes with Brussels sprouts. But the main part is, the main show of that dish is the short ribs. And I've been kind of trying to perfect that since I began actually cooking. And that's probably, like, everybody asks me, what's your signature dish? What's your signature dish? What do you love to cook? You know, I love to make sauces and pastas and all that kind of stuff, but I think that has to truly be my favorite thing of all time to make is the beef short rib or any type of braised meat, because it's probably like an all-day process, and you can't skip a step. You can't cut corners, you know. Yeah, can't take it off too soon because then it's going to be inedible. You know what I mean? Like, you can't overcook it because then it's going to be too much, you know? It's, in my opinion, it's probably, like, the best thing for me to make, I think.
We were talking about that dish on this podcast not too long ago because there's so many places in Vegas that have that on the menu. Mm-hmm. And when you get it just right, mm-hmm. it's hard to beat a beef short rib dish.
Right.
But it's not always right.
It'll turn you off. We went to a restaurant, and my wife, she ordered a short rib because she doesn't really eat steak, like a medium rare steak or whatever. She doesn't like the texture of it. She likes the soft, pulled texture of meat. So she gets the short ribs if we go to a steakhouse. And the minute she put her knife to it, she's like, I don't know if I can eat this. And I tasted it, and I was like, oh, my God. That needs, like, another 3 hours.
I've been there. I've had this experience.
So it's like it could make or break. Like, we would probably never go back to that place just because of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like,
where do you like to eat out? What are some of your favorite spots around town when you get that rare night off and you can go out to dinner somewhere?
See, that's the thing. It's like there's so many places that it's – we rarely go back to a lot of places like that. Not because it's bad, but because there's so many other places to try. But we've been going downtown a lot. Esther's is a new pasta place that opened up downtown. It's pretty awesome. We kind of gorge ourselves when we go there, so we've been trying to stay away a little bit. But there's a, you know, we just went yesterday to Locale up on Blue Diamond, and that was an awesome place. I can't think of the chef's name off the top of my head right now.
Nicole Brisson.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome job up there. We just actually went there yesterday, first time, and it was spectacular. It was pretty cool. So we like to see what's popping up and go show the love, you know what I mean?
That's going to do it for this bonus episode of Second Helping. I hope you enjoyed this experience. You can visit Chef Jamie at Twin Creeks at the Silverton. It's open for dinner at 4:30 p.m. Wednesday through Sunday. Don't try to get a shrimp cocktail and a filet on a Monday or a Tuesday when it's closed and get all mad at me. Make your reservation at silvertoncasino.com. Special thanks for this episode to everybody at Las Vegas Weekly, everybody at the Silverton, and of course Sonia Barcelona for her song Violent Water. Please come back for another Second Helping soon. Thanks for listening.